From the bit to the pit. In this invocation, I will oppose two things, the digital and the non-digital. I will also talk a lot about the abstract and the concrete. I will explore what lies underneath the digital, underneath the bit. I will find the abyss or the pit and show how, from this level and moving in an alternative direction, the non-digital can be recovered. The digital, or the abstract and the concrete. The bit, or the binary digit, or the basic unit of information is not the basic or absolute level of information because it is the state of a random variable. It is one or zero, yes or no, black or white, we don't know which. It's a switch, it is random X. It is the answer to a question. It expresses a point of view and presupposes a context, which is relative. One and zero are values of a function. They are answers. They are outputs. Hence, they are derivative. They are function of the underlying randomness. They make no sense alone in abstraction. They need the concrete core. I will say what this concrete core is, but first, I will distinguish between the real and the concrete. Information is reality. In my interpretation, information corresponds to the level of the real because it is the answer to a question. The random variable whose values are the answer corresponds to the level of the real. The concrete lies below that level. Why the real? Because when we need information, we go around asking, please, can you tell me what really happened? However, this is not getting to the bottom of things. As reality, information is underlain by the concrete situation. By that which has absolutely concretely happened. Let me explain. When we throw the dice or flip a coin, we are only interested in the event described by the face that shows up, because we adopt the point of view of playing heads or tails, or the point of view of gambling with the dice. The game is the reality we are now contemplating. It is a screen, an abstraction of the concrete world. We separate the concrete and the abstract, and we distinguish between the absolutely concrete situation and thinkable reality. All we can think of now that we play, our only reality, is throwing that dice or flipping that coin. To formalize probability, the notion of sample space is introduced. This is the big urn, also known as the universe, omega, from which the world draws the random outcomes or cases, symbolized by little omega. Probability is not assigned to the concrete sample as such, to that which absolutely concretely happens when the draw takes place, but it operates at a higher level. Probability is assigned to an abstraction of the samples, to sets of samples. We do not look at the concrete element as such, but at the property that the concrete elements have in common, and we assign probability to that. The formalism has a nice way of expressing this, by making the sample little omega an element of the event capital A. The face of the die of the, or the coin doesn't happen. Something concrete happens and makes the face appear. The case, little omega, or that which happens concretely, the contingent this, as in the expression, this is what happened, is unmeasurable and indescribable. It certainly is not digital. It may even be unconceivable, that is to say, conceivable only by God or by nature, conceivable either by a supreme intelligence or by a material intelligence, not by man. It corresponds to the stage before language is articulated, the stage before questions and answers. It corresponds to that which Bergson describes as a passive intelligence, mechanically keeping step with experience, neither anticipating nor following the course of the real. For such a mind, writes Bergson, there would be no void, no note, even relative or partial, no possible negation. To which I add that there would be, therefore, no switch and no digital. What the sample little omega is in its absolute concreteness, or what the concrete world has accomplished at bottom in order to produce the trial, doesn't stop at the value shown on the face of the coin or the face of the die. It extends into the unthinkable abyss of the whole concrete situation. What does it mean? It means that describing the whole concrete situation involves the question or whether it was sunny or rainy when the coin was flipped, and whether the player was smiling or frowning, and whether his arm was strong enough to lift the coin and throw it, and whether gravity was permanent enough to attract the coin back to Earth, etc., etc. The concrete accretes all kinds of questions. It is a continuum of questions. There is another side to this accretion. If you flip a coin once, you flip it an infinity of times, and thus, beyond the first bit, the concrete coin buys you at once the cardinality of the continuum. This is because the coin is there concretely. The whole infinite sequence of flips of the coin, the whole infinite sequence of ones and zeros, forms just a single sample in the infinite product sample space. Indeed, in probability theory, we reason on the whole sequence as a single element of a larger space. We may have flipped the coin repeatedly, but what the world has done is draw a single sample, the whole sequence of flips at once. Now, a quick word about the law of large numbers, which usually comes to mind at this juncture. The strong law of large numbers is the major result of abstract probability theory. It provides that the frequency of heads converges to 50% almost surely when we flip the coin to the end. However, it does not reason on a specific sequence. It reasons on the whole set of sequences of flips, so abstraction, once again. It does not identify a specific concrete sequence. Getting hold of the actual concrete sequence in which the frequency of heads has converged is like getting to the bottom of what has absolutely concretely happened when the world has produced a trial, any trial, even the first one. We cannot get hold of that bottom. And we do not necessarily have to imagine the infinite detail. That it happens without further specification is already in itself an abysmal notion. There is a lot more in the it than in the bit. Every time we need to refine the point of view, every time we need to delve deeper in the description of the case, in the description of the it, every time we need to answer the question of whether, beyond the value showing on the face, the coin was made of gold or silver, or whether a meteorite fell and killed the player, or whether God flipped a larger coin and made gravity on Earth disappear, we need to recalibrate the algebra of events. We need to add new questions and new conceivable events while maintaining, metaphysically, that the samples triggering these new events, unthinkable as they might have been a second ago, have always been there. We maintain that the urn omega has always contained the case of a falling meteorite and the case of vanishing gravity once and for all. This logic is regressive, as you can see. It corresponds to a backward narrative. In truth, we should never regress in thought towards a never-totalizing sample space. Probability should not be extrapolated beyond its modest project. It was only meant to deal with the universe of things, totalized once and for all, not with the world. So perhaps a new metaphysics of chance should be pursued beyond probability, and the whole logic of abstraction questioned. What alternative logic, you ask? One in which the abyss is no longer the passive and regressive cause of randomness, but is spontaneously thrown forward. So let us explore the alternative. The non-digital, or the concrete without the abstract. Money is invented. It becomes the only end of the world. You can only make money or lose money. The stock price can only go up or go down. There are no other conceivable events in this world. This is not even an abstraction over a concrete sample that might be infinitely richer in the point of detail. This is simply money. People buy the stock because its price could go up, and its price goes up because people buy it. Or they sell it because its price could go down, and its price goes down because people sell it. Money is in itself the primary abstraction, and then it becomes the only concrete. It screens off any other concrete. There aren't even two events in this world, the price going up or down. There is only money, which becomes more fundamental than randomness, and perhaps even time. It has the end of its world written on its other face because it can itself become worthless. There aren't two separate things. a speculative bubble and a market crash, but only the single face of money. There is only the trading pit. As soon as the stock exchange or the trading pit is given, randomness is given, the infrastructure of sample space is no longer needed. Once the pre-exchange is accepted, speculation or the market looking at itself reflexively becomes the only ground, a constantly moving ground. Probability was the result of abstraction, whereas money and price are concrete. It's only regressively that the events of probability theory made contact with the absolute concrete. As we said, the abyss kept being dug out beneath the surface in a desperate move always to reconstruct the future as already present in the past, as already an element of the total. But the future shouldn't be part of the absolute concrete, at least not in a logic where every difference is rewritten in the past. The future shouldn't be a refinement of what the draw once and for all is keeping for us. The future should be absolutely different, absolutely contingent. It should be different, only we don't know different from what. And how could the abyss be thrown forward? How could the concrete world, which is now screened off by money, recover its absolute richness and infinite detail? How could the future be concrete yet remain absolutely open? By pushing money and trading to their ultimate consequence, which is the market of contingent claims or the derivatives market. Here is my thesis. Trading is not a matter of drawing a sample from the urn. Trading means randomness. The stochastic processes that we write in finance, typically Brownian motion, are not the result of abstraction of the abysmal concrete, but of conceptualization of the trading pit. Remember that money and trading are the only concrete, and that there is no deeper underlying concrete. Remember that the trading pit is the only word, so it's no longer abstraction that we are achieving here, no longer a cut of the abyss, but a conceptualization of the whole thing. This is an alternative schema of thought altogether. When there is no longer a sample space to draw from repeatedly, but only the stock price to follow its single fate, going up or going down, and only money to show its single face, being made or being lost, it can be shown by Black-Scholes in 1973 that this new view of randomness is equivalent to the replication of contingent payoffs and consequently to the writing of contingent claims relative to that stock. Now, these contingent claims, once written, can only be traded in their turn because the sample space is suppressed and the only remaining pit is the trading pit. Let me explain quickly. In the traditional view of randomness, we used to conceive of events. In the new view, events are not conceived, they are materially written. Instead of assigning probability to the face 6 when the dice is thrown, we write a financial contract, a contingent claim that pays off 1 euro if the face 6 shows up and 0 otherwise. Then we trade this contingent claim and it gets assigned a price. Transposing this in the old picture, it's no longer one coin that you are flipping constantly to determine whether the stock price will go up or down. It's an infinity of coins that we are now always flipping to determine whether the price of each and every derivative written on the stock will also go up or down. Trading those derivatives dynamically will in turn help synthesizing the payoffs of derivatives written on them, and they in turn will admit of tradable prices and in turn suppose an even larger number of coins, so on and so forth, instantly, not sequentially. Trading a stock is the same as writing a derivative on that stock, is the same as trading the derivative, is the same as writing a derivative on the derivative, is the same as trading the second derivative in turn, etc., etc. In a single stroke, the infinity of the non-digital concrete world is handed back from the other end, never to be totalized again in a universe of cases. The abyss opens forward spontaneously. Thank you.